This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Going to end up this afternoon with a debate, Democrats versus Republicans. Do we want, it's about BMI cutoff and mandates for weight loss. Do we want strict regulation or laissez-faire? So it's going to be more civil than Clinton versus Donald, but maybe less entertaining.
Thanks. The bottom one. Hopefully a little bit less entertaining than that. Dr. Paulson was originally going to give this talk, but he's actually back in San Francisco doing a kidney transplant, I think on an obese recipient. But I will gladly take the opportunity to debate Dr. Kang at any moment. So these are Dr. Posselt's slides, but I'll do my best with them. Nothing to disclose. So I'm sure you guys all want to get to dinner. We're running late, so we'll do our best to go fast. But Dr. Posselt wanted you to remember that everybody is getting obese right before dinner. So I don't think anybody needs to be reminded, but obviously obesity is an epidemic, and it's definitely here to stay. The title says this is patients awaiting kidney transplant, but this is actually BMI in patients undergoing transplant. You can see that it's definitely a big problem. So patients with a BMI of 30 to 35 are increasing. Severely obese patients with a BMI over 35 are definitely increasing, and the only group decreasing is the patients with a normal BMI of 20 to 25. They are disappearing. So what are the outcomes after transplant in patients who have an elevated BMI? Well, we know that they have higher cardiovascular morbidity and more surgical complications. They have longer operative times, and they're reintubated or admitted to the ICU more commonly than patients with normal BMI. They have longer hospitalizations. They definitely have an increased risk of wound infections. I mean, a patient with a BMI of 40 in one study had a 40% risk of having a wound infection. I mean, that's amazing. They have higher rates of DGF with an odds ratio of 2.6 or 2.7 when your BMI gets over 40. So given all this information, the AST guidelines actually recommend a BMI under 30 prior to transplant. But they do note that there's insufficient data to determine which, if any, patient should actually be declined transplant on the basis of BMI alone. So how are the kidneys and how are the recipients doing in our high BMI recipients? Well, this is 10-year follow-up data of 50,000 patients. This is from 2002, so it's a little bit on the older side, but it is very telling data. 10-year follow-up looking at graft loss and death-centered graft loss and death with a functioning graft. And you can see in each situation, the outcome is definitely worse as the BMI goes up and significantly worse when you get to a BMI over 35 or 36. Again, we all know that our patients after kidney transplant often suffer cardiovascular morbidity and mortality. And this is looking at five-year cardiovascular events in patients and stratifying them by BMI. You can see on the left, patients with a BMI over 30, the bottom orange bar, have about a 30% risk of having a cardiovascular event over 5 years, which is double the rate of patients who have a BMI that's normal. And on the right, you can see about 20% of patients with a BMI over 40 will have CHF 5 years after transplant, which is about double the rate of patients with a normal BMI. We all know that there's lots of scrutiny from UNOS and CMS and private insurers, and basically the adjustment for BMI doesn't really take into account different categories of BMI, so it's not a very good adjustment to stratify risk. It would be much more helpful if because we all know the patient with a BMI of 31 is much different than a patient with a BMI of 41, and those are basically grouped together as one category now. And we know that our current performance metrics focus exclusively on post-transplant survival and patient and graft survival, but there really are no metrics measuring how well we get people to lose weight or the effects of obesity on morbidity and mortality from kidney failure. So we need to change our metrics, as well as our BMI cutoff. What are the cost implications? Well, we know that patients who are overweight or obese do require more healthcare spending. So 1 year after a kidney transplant costs an extra $23,000 if a patient is obese, and 3 years of care costs an extra $40,000. So that's not insignificant. So I'm going to put on my magic hat and predict what Dr. Kang is going to argue, and I'm going to refute it before he even gets up here, so he can just stay over there. He may talk about the reverse epidemiology, which is where high BMI patients actually have an improved survival on dialysis, suggesting that they can undergo kidney transplant without a higher morbidity and mortality. But I would question that data and say that those studies don't differentiate intentional weight loss from non-intentional weight loss. And I think we all know that a patient who has a BMI of 19 or 20 from years of eating right and exercise is much different than a patient who has a BMI of 19 or 20 from end-stage disease that is about to pass away. So I think those studies have to be taken with a grain of salt. Several studies show no correlation between BMI and worse outcomes after transplant, which is probably going to be one of Dr. Kang's points. But we really need to concentrate not on BMI over 30. We have to concentrate on BMI over 35 or over 40, because that's where the difference is really pronounced, and that's where we should start thinking about setting our cutoffs. BMI is not an accurate measure of obesity, as we've all heard many times, but it is the best measure that we have, so we have to go with the best that we've got at this point. And we know that dietary modifications and weight loss are not effective long-term, and patients do regain weight, and regaining weight after transplant actually offers, you know, the patient a worse outcome than if they just had never lost the weight. So that is a valid argument, but our solution to that is that there are now surgical interventions that are available that can provide long-term weight loss for patients prior to transplant. So this is Dr. Possel's specialty. He does bariatric surgery as well as transplant, as you may know. So he saw this paper in 2012 that demonstrates very good weight loss with the laparoscopic sleeve gastrectomy, almost as good as the lap gastric bypass, but a much smaller, simpler procedure, much easier to tolerate. So he does laparoscopic sleeve gastrectomy in patients awaiting kidney transplant, and this is his data. This is 30 patients who underwent a sleeve gastrectomy. They started with an average BMI of 48, and by 2 years, their BMI was down to 29. This is a 66% loss of excess weight. Again, this was 30 patients. There were two wound infections from the sleeve gastrectomy and one episode of bleeding, but he assures me that it was relatively self-limited. There was no 30-day or long-term mortality. And to date, 13 of these patients have undergone their kidney transplant, and two were actually removed from the list because their GFR improved and they didn't need to be transplanted. So there is a treatment for patients to help them get to a BMI, if we do have a BMI cutoff, to help them get below that BMI cutoff. And if diet and exercise don't work, there is another solution that offers lasting weight loss. So, in conclusion, pro-BMI cutoff is the way to go, and it rhymes. Obesity is associated with worse post-transplant outcomes for both patients and grafts. Organs are a scarce resource and should be allocated preferentially to those who benefit the most. I mean, this was the basis for the KAS changes, so it makes sense to continue that thinking. There are now safe and effective ways to achieve lasting weight loss. And the caveats are that the most pronounced morbidly obese, which is BMI over 35 or 40, are the ones that have the most difficulty after transplant, and this is where our BMI cutoffs should be set, rather than focusing on a BMI of 30. Thank you very much.
I'd like to remind you that no also rhymes with go. So I'm not sure that that's a very good argument. Now, I was going to be kind of nice to Garrett because he was presenting Andy's talk, essentially, but he did it with such enthusiasm that the gloves are off again. So I'm going to take the position that we shouldn't have a strict BMI / weight loss mandate, and I'll tell you why. We'll go over, you know, what is the purpose of a cutoff in the first place? And then let's figure out where BMI came from. I actually didn't realize how BMI was invented, what it was used for. And we'll look at the validity of the BMI as an indicator of fat percentage or health. And then we'll actually look at outcomes in high BMI patients. And then I think, you know, when your argument's wrong, you don't have to put up a lot of graphs and all that stuff. It's a very simple argument, actually. It's actually quite... thank you, Flavio, for giving me this topic. So why do we have a criteria for transplant? You know, Garrett said we have limited resources. And we don't want to evaluate every single patient who's nearing or on dialysis. That's just too many patients. So we have to have some cutoffs. We can't have every, you know, a 90-year-old coming in in a wheelchair. That's going to limit our resources for viable candidates. So we want to screen out patients who can be predicted to have poor outcomes, right? So, well, what is the definition of a poor outcome? What criteria do we set where the outcome's bad enough where we can't allocate kidneys? Who decided that obese people are too high of a risk? What is their what if their outcome's poor? What how much does it have to be poor before you say no, right? And is it really, if it is increased cost, how much more is it? And what is that cost relative to the cost of staying on dialysis, all of the health benefits of transplantation you would lose? So I think that's not a simple argument to make. So if we decide to screen out patients for a high BMI, they should have poor outcomes, right? That's an assumption that you're making, that they have poor outcomes. So let's look at the history of the BMI. The BMI was actually devised by a mathematician, not a doctor or a biological researcher. It was a Belgian named Lambert Adolphe Jacques Quetelet. I don't know. Anyway, there's four names and only three initials, interestingly. But it was intended actually as a measure of obesity in the general population to make policies, not for individual patients. It's really important to understand that this is not a tool for individual patients. It was never devised for that. And a gentleman named Keyes wrote a paper looking at, you know, obesity in the general population in the early 70s, and he was the first one to use BMI, and he actually warned in the paper that it should not be used for individual patients. And yet here we are ruling people out, individuals out, based on a faulty measure. So we all kind of think of, you know, BMI here going from 17 to 40, and everybody goes along this path, but we know that's not the case. BMI is not the same. So, you know, if Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime, our governor, you know, we would have turned him down for a transplant, and yet we know that he was, well, except for maybe the steroids, I don't know if that's true or not, but he was generally healthy guy. Physically, at least. And sorry, Arnold. And yet you have this other person who has the same exact BMI who clearly is not in shape and is going to have much worse health. So this is obviously an exaggeration of the BMI paradox, but it's real. We all know that this is true. So why are we using this when we're supposedly smart physicians and nurses, et cetera? It doesn't make sense. And if you actually look at the BMI on the bottom versus actual body fat percentage, aren't we really caring about body fat percentage? Why are we using BMI as some weird mathematical model? So you can have a body fat percentage of, do I have a pointer? There it is. So you can have a body fat percentage of, cursor, right? You can have a body fat percentage of 35%, and you might have a BMI of 25, or you can have a BMI of 45. These are, you know, so these are patients where there's more adiposity compared to the BMI. So all these patients have really high body fat percentage, and yet their BMI is low. We've seen, we know patients like this, right? They're this quote-unquote low BMI diabetics. They have big bellies and spindly legs, et cetera. So those, and then on the other hand, you have high BMI but low body fat percentage, right? Muscular people, big boned, you know, quote unquote big boned. I use that excuse a lot that I'm big boned. But we know that so the BMI is not valid as an individual measure. This is really a population measure that you can follow over time in a general population, but you should not be using it for individuals. That's what I learned actually after having been assigned this. But then, okay, so let's look at outcomes. Okay, so that's the other part of the equation. So it turns out that if you look at the overall outcome, sorry for these small graphs, but basically it tells you that you don't need to read the details because everybody's the same. Different BMIs, they all have just about the same outcomes. And if you look at the odds ratios, we're talking like 1.2, 1.3 as the increased risk of graft loss. And we were looking at other things that had two times the graft loss, right, in some of the earlier talks. Now, it turns out that this is on a univariate analysis. If you look at multivariate analysis using more recent data, so here, if you look at the BMI between 35 to 40 as a risk predictor compared to those with the BMI between 18.5 and 25, it's basically you have no increased risk for graft failure just based on being obese. Okay, so it turns out that, of course, that we all know if you need total assistance, if you've had a stroke, you know, peripheral vascular disease, that's actually a much higher risk for graft loss and obesity. Being on dialysis is a risk factor that's fairly much higher than being fat. So there's a lot more stuff or factors that are higher risk for graft. Look at, you know, between age 65 and 80, you have a much higher risk of graft loss than a younger obese patient. So we have to look at these patients individually, and it turns out, and we have to remove our bias that strictly being, you know, high BMI gives you poor outcomes, because that's not the case. We have to dispel this notion. We have to look at the patient as a whole. Are they diabetic? Have they had strokes? Are they limited mobility? There are patients who are just so fat that we can't do it technically, and of course, you know, we can't do those patients. So again, outcomes in high BMI patients are generally equivalent to low BMI patients. Even the papers where you see a difference, the magnitude is actually not that great. They're statistically significant, but they're not significant clinically. And then we do have to realize, though, that when we're looking at this data, that high BMI patients that are in our database who've been transplanted have already been kind of selected. So we can't go too wild. I'm not advocating that we start transplanting every, you know, patient who had the BMI of over 45, but we have to look at these patients individually and just kind of disregard this BMI number. So I think I've proven to you that the BMI is a poor tool for measuring individual outcomes. So, you know, maybe we should use something else. Maybe this is a research project that we should think about, but maybe we should start measuring body fat percentage. It's not that hard to do. And correlate those with outcomes instead of BMI. Now, should we have no cutoff? You know, would we evaluate, you know, one of the people on The Biggest Loser or whatever, you know, biggest person in the world? No, I mean, there's people who are going to be too big to transplant. And, you know, in no way am I advocating the transplant of every patient with some arbitrary BMI. But again, I think we should try to get away from this concept of BMI and think about general adiposity or body fat percentage. The other thing is when we do have patients who you as referring nephrologists think are okay for transplant and then send to us, then if we think they're not technically doable or have other issues, that's an opportunity for us to intervene in a meaningful way and say, look, you know, this is, I know you want to transplant, these are the ways to, you know, to get skinnier. This is why you need to lose fat. Maybe we do offer bariatric surgery. It's an opportunity. So I think it just doesn't make sense to say, sorry, we have an arbitrary, your BMI is 39, we're not even going to evaluate you. That makes no sense to me. Because you guys are sending them thinking that they're viable candidates. So that's end of my rebuttal. Hopefully you guys will all increase your own BMI soon.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.